Welcome, dogs. Get your goggles. Get your Titus Lycra tri suit. Put on those compression socks. Why be good at one sport if you can be shit at three? This is the Triathlon Mockery Podcast. Well, surprise, surprise, my dogs. It isn't only the Titus Lycra tri suit you should be getting, but also the suntan lotion. Because in the Netherlands and in the UK, the sun is shining bright like a diamond. But I can see Jody sitting in Norwich and he is grumpy like a dog. What happened?
Mate, my bikes have they're out of action, mate. Like, baggage handlers cracked the frame of my road bike. So that put that out of action. I'm waiting to get a replacement frame. TT bike. Getting some new cranks fitted. Unfortunately, I was missing a part, so that was in the bike shop, and it almost got all sorted. But they missed a bolt. I didn't get sent this bolt to tighten the drive side part of the SRM, so TT bike was out of action. Gravel bike, flipping DI2 cables, like, you know what you said happened to yours, like, just sheared through. Like, they literally just went, I don't know what it was, friction, just rubbed them away or whatever. So that was in the bike shop. It all happened at the same time. So the sun was out and I end up having to ride on bloody Zwift indoors. Freaking right low, that was.
Wow. So finally the sun came out and you had to ride on Zwift.
I wanted some vitamin D.
Would you say it's poor maintenance or would you say it's bad luck?
Oh, bad luck.
Yeah, I've got the same, man. I've got like a specific session on the bike and I'm kind of running out of time. So I'm also going to do it indoors. But I did go for a run in the sun, which was quite all right.
Every cloud has a silver lining, doesn't it, Tom?
They do. They do. And also, sometimes I just want to feel more in touch with people who also can't go out for a training ride at a normal time, for example, a Monday, 10 a.m., because they have to go to work. So I'm being, solidary. Anyway, shall we head over to the highs and lows this week, Joe?
Yeah, go on then. What's yours? Hit us with your best.
What I was saying last podcast, wasn't I, that I wasn't really feeling like fresh, you know, and like fit. So I must say I wasn't feeling sick last week, but whenever I was doing a session, whether it was like a bike or a run, I just had to push so hard to get like some form of like decent speed or whatever. I just felt really fast fatigued. So to give you an example, I did a long run with the Amsterdam Run Squad. So that's my running boys from Amsterdam.
Is this a squad that you set up or was this already around?
No. I've set this one up and it's actually quite handy because we've got a fair big group now. Like it's about 30 people in there. So every time I'm going, every Sunday, I'm just posting up every run that I'm doing throughout the week. And then I'll post it up in the group and then everyone can like join in on the sessions. And I always would have like 5, 6, 7 people around. So it's quite nice. And then we'll just handicap the runs. And except for
and
the
do
easy
you do
ones.
Some- interval sessions together then as well
so yeah yeah like so we do session. Progressive sessions together, interval sessions together, and sometimes they go like if I'm not there they'll just do it with the other ones and I'll just give the sessions and then sometimes they follow me around, sometimes I'll handicap it. It's quite nice really, but the easy runs you can all do together.
So in a way, you're like the Pied Piper of Amsterdam, aren't you? Playing your flute with your little band of brothers following you.
Playing the flute. But anyway, so on a Thursday, we were going for a long run. Classic Nighthawk, because I'm postponing my long run session the whole day because they're all at work. So but I had to do some work anyway. In the evening, we were like running along and we were running something like 5, 10K pace. And I was thinking like my heart rate, my watch must be off because my heart rate was flipping high, man. So I said,
how high?
137.
What would it normally be?
120.
Fucking hell. So you're like 20 beats higher.
Yeah.
And then GPS signal.
Yeah, I was thinking it was the GPS signal because I wasn't feeling that sick, just a bit like stuffy nose, a bit off. But everyone was saying, no, it's all right. It's like 5, 10K pace. So I was thinking like, that's a bit strange. And then on a Saturday, I went for another run, like 10K, very easy, 5 minute, 30K pace, heart rate, 137. And I was thinking, wow, something is definitely not right. So, but today on the Monday, I did another run, 11Ks for, what was it, something like 425K pace, same heart rate. And I woke up fresh again. So I don't know if you know that feeling that you don't feel sick, but you know you're battling like a minor virus.
Yeah, I do. I do know that feeling. That would have felt grim, like 130 something beats minute and you're going 530K pace. And you've got a half marathon next week, so you must have thought, oh God, this isn't looking good, didn't you?
After the 10K, like literally 2 days after, you remember when I had like that bonkiest run and I felt like flattish after that? Like on that Wednesday, from that Wednesday onwards till I'd say like today, so it's 1.5 weeks, I've just been feeling off and I've only done like one proper session on the run, like interval session. And half marathon is this Sunday. It's like coming Sunday. So what do you reckon? What time? What are you aiming for?
I reckon you'll be 1:13 something.
No, never.
Yeah,
never.
I reckon I've got the. Is it a similar speed wise course? Like no hills.
It's not a quick course. It's not a quick course.
That's what you said about the 10K though as well.
No, but this one has like bridges and it's across like the seafront in The Hague. It's my old hometown, The Hague.
All right. So if it's not windy, it's all right then.
It could be. It could be.
But I reckon I'm going to go 1:13:50.
Nah, that's like, what pace is that? That is
1:32. 3:32.
3:32. Yeah, that's way too quick.
You did what? 3:26, 3:27 for the 10K?
Yeah, but I got sick after that and it's only 10K and I felt like fucked after 3K, remember? So I can dig deep for another
get
second.
Fit or get fucked. Yeah. Get fit or get fucked. I've got the confidence in you. You started off with a 3:18 in that 10K. All right. I'm going to go between 1:13:50 and 1:14:20.
I'm thinking I'm going to run 3:39K pace, which is basically...
Oh, God. You'll be quicker than that.
Whoa. Easy, man. Easy.
That's like 1:16.
Yeah, my PB is 1:16.5. You're always thinking I'm quicker than I actually am.
For the 10K, you surpassed my expectations from what I remember.
Yeah, that's true. But we're now eight weeks in with the running, and a 10K, you can do it on character, but a half?
That is true. A 10K, you can kind of get your head around a bit more, but a half marathon is pretty flipping grim, isn't it? If you haven't done any proper half marathon sessions, because you get 10, 12K in, you feel like you're blowing up. You've still got flipping 30 minutes of 35 minutes of running left, haven't you? And
exactly.
You can't blag that, can you?
So realistically, I'm thinking if I have a good race, run 3:39s.
I'm too soft for a half marathon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, too soft, mate. I just the thought of it just doesn't appeal to me in a training block kind of thing. It's just grim.
It is pretty grim. It is, but it's not as grim as a 10K because for a 10K is really like.
Yeah, but a 10K is done quicker, isn't it? Like I don't mind a 5 or a 10K, but a half marathon, fuck that.
The thing is, I'm starting the 10K so fast that I'm a K-hole after like 800 meters that the rest is going to feel like it's taking ages.
Yeah, but you're going to do the same thing for the half marathon. You're going to be in the K-hole for 20K and you're going to be in a whole world of shit.
I'm not going to taper for it. I am not going to taper.
Oh, God, this is a recipe for disaster. Ladies and gentlemen, next Monday, you are going to hear a war story.
No, you thought
World War II was bad. This is gonna make that look like it was a walk in the park, isn't it?
I am looking forward to it. But anyway, not really a high this week. But I'm curious about your 10K.
My 10K went well in the end, but before it, so I'll take you back to Friday. On Friday, I did some training and I felt fantastic. Like did a fresh old bike session, easy run. Felt all right on the run, but wasn't really planning on doing anything, just a steady like hour. Then had a swim session, felt great. It was just an endurance one, but like, so I did like a K, 800, 600, 400, and we did like pickups at like for random 50s during it. So, but I felt really good and the times were really good. Like I was averaging 120K pace, 120 per 100 for all of them, and it got down to like 118s even for the longer reps. And I felt good. And I wasn't really feeling like I was putting that much effort in. So I was sitting in the sauna afterwards, with Techno, John was in there, load of the others, because like you meet the same people, don't you, all the time when you go to the gym or swimming, like what we do. And we said about the 10K, and they were all taking guesses, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to smash it. I feel flipping brilliant. Like, I can't wait for it. Then get home, Friday night, my throat feels like sore, like, you know, like, yeah, just sore is what I describe it. So I went, so I took this first defense stuff, what you spray up your nose, and it, if you're coming down with something, it can stop it. So I was like absolutely killing that. And I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, bloody nose was like blocked one of my noses. And I thought, for fuck's sake, why now? Why the day before? Anyway, woke up Saturday because I was still taking the first defense, went swimming, felt all right in the water, which is a good sign for me because you know what it's like. I bet you feel the same. If you're fucked, the swim is the one where you feel exactly, like you're going like absolute shit.
That's what I had on Friday. Like I was doing a warm-up and my heart was pumping and I was sweating like a pig.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sweating like a pig, but I was actually able to get through it. Whereas sometimes when I'm ill, quite often I've been known to get out of the water after 200 metres, 300 metres and get in the sauna. So I was expecting that I was going to be heading to the pool and in my head I'm thinking, this could be less time spent in the pool than in the sauna. There's a very strong possibility that this is going to be a 3-minute swim and a 5-minute sauna and then I'm back home again. That's what I was thinking, but actually it turned out all right. So get home, and things are looking a bit promising, so get in the car. The car was all packed up and everything. If it wasn't all packed up and I had to do it all, I would have probably canned the 10K off there and then. But everything was packed and I'd booked the accommodation and paid for it because it was on Airbnb. So it wasn't like I could get any money
you
back.
You paid for an accommodation? For the 10K?
I paid for some accommodation.
Where was it then, the 10K?
It's near Manchester. It's like 3.5 hours away.
Three and a half or closer to 4 hours?
Probably closer to four.
So you drove 4 hours for a 10K?
Mate, I was looking forward to it. I've been looking forward to this for since November. So I was like, I really didn't want to pull out. I wanted that PB, mate. I'm a checkbook sportsman. I'm just looking to buy speed. So if there's a downhill 10K, you know that I'm going to be there.
is this a fast 10K?
It's a fast 10K. And it gets a strong field, a really strong field. Like loads of good runners go there. So it's a good one to do. So, you take the piss out of me driving there. I told you that guy who won it came from fucking Sweden, mate. Like he had to fly to it. Like,
I know. But I think the big difference is that you're like a triathlete, and this is just for you like a park run, and he is probably like a runner, and for him this is like the A race. This was his Kona.
This is his Kona. But anyway, so we travelled up there on the Saturday, and I feel worse as we go. And when we got there, I was too fucked to do a shakeout run.
What?
Like, yeah, I was too fucked. I said to Laura, I can't do one. I said, I need to have a lay down. So I had to have a lay down. Then we went and got some food. And I'm thinking, God, I don't even know if I can do this 10K tomorrow. Anyway, I thought, I'm going to just get an early night. So I went to bed about 10:30, something like that. Actually, a bit earlier than that. I think it was like 10:15. And I said to her, I'm going to see how I feel in the morning. And if my Garmin data looks all right, I'll do the 10K. Honestly, I did. I'm not even joking. But if my Garmin data looks bad, I ain't doing it. You know, like the heart rate variability and the sleep score?
Yeah.
Because normally, if I feel bad and they're bad, I know that it's going to go like shit. Like shit. And I knew exactly what was going to happen. I'd do the 10K. And after 2K in, I'd be running like crap. And I'd be thinking to myself, why did I bother turning up on race day? Like, I knew it wasn't going to go well. So I said, if my Garmin data says I'm all right, then I'll do it. And then, oh yeah, but before I woke up, guess what happened at 4 o'clock in the morning?
You had to pee.
Worse. So the Airbnb said you couldn't have dogs, but we took the dogs. But so we had to do it stealthily, like, and hope that they didn't see us. So we took the dogs. And what happens at 4 o'clock in the morning? Laura wakes up. I can smell a poo. I said, what do you mean? I couldn't. My nose was fucked when it was blocked. So guess who did a dump in the flipping bedroom?
Oh, Maisie. Maisie. In the carpet?
On the carpet. She does a fucking dump, mate. So at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting flipping tissues. We're having to clean the carpet up. Put her outside. I put her outside. I took her for a walk before we went to bed. I put her out again to try and get her to do a dump. She wouldn't do one. In the end, she fucking does it in their bedroom, on their carpet. Laura smells it, 4 o'clock in the morning. We're cleaning shit up. So I'm thinking, oh, God. And then anyway, go back to bed, thinking.
I bet Maisie was thinking, like, I mean, stuff is always more fun when you're not allowed to do it. So she was already not even allowed in the Airbnb. So I bet that gave her like an adrenaline kick.
I know, I know. This is like... And Ted was howling. That's how we woke up. He was going, woo. like that. Yeah. So he was thinking, oh, Maisie, Maisie, you've really fucked up this time.
Yeah, you're fucked
you've gone too far. You've pushed it too far, Maisie. They are going to go flipping mental. So Ted was making noises as if to say, look, guys, this isn't me. This is the other fucking dog. Don't take it out on me. It has nothing to do with me. So
he wanted to make sure that he snitched her out.
Yeah. So Ted basically grasped Maisie up. That was how we knew it was Maisie, because Ted just like thinking, don't fucking take me down with that other dog. I would never do that. So, yeah. But, and then woke up at like 7:30, had some breakfast. I'm thinking, oh, I don't feel too bad, to be fair. So I book an Uber, get down there, because I didn't bother driving because I thought it was going to be a nightmare of all the cars.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare getting the Uber as well because of the road closures. But anyway, met up with my mate because a couple of us, Tom from Norwich, came up.
There was
a few boys. Yeah. So went for a warm-up with him. I've said to him about what was happening. I wasn't expecting much. And they were like, oh, you're just saying that. And I was like, well, no, I'm not. But like, I feel all right warming up, to be fair. So I was actually optimistic. Anyway, started the race. Went out too hard, as per normal, because you're not really, you get pulled along, don't you?
As of one, did you think like, oof, it might be a bit too quick?
No, I didn't look at my watch until 7K, because I didn't even want to know. Because I thought, I'll just go by feel, and like,
I just can't understand it. After like 1K, I'm immediately like, tell me what it is. Tell me what day I'm on.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you feel like you're going a nice pace, you can't go any quicker, because you know what feels right. So if you look at your watch and it says it's way too quick, you'll either think, this is great, I'm on for a flyer, and it might help you, or you'll think, oh shit, I've gone out way too quick, this is going to hurt. And then you might feel the effort more because you've talked yourself out of it. Whereas if you go at what feels nice, if it's fast or if it's slow, it doesn't matter because you couldn't do anything about it anyway. So I thought there's no point. But then when you get to 7K or whatever, or 8K, you can kind of push a bit more if you need to, you know. If it's honest, you're going to dig in. So I looked at 7K and I saw I had like 9:23, I think, to do the last 3K to go under 31 minutes. So I was like, oh, it could be on. But I had some guy that ended up coming past me at 7K who ended up running 30:30. But and he was like, seemed like he was like a train. but I ended up like, I felt like I had a bit of the phlegm in my throat, you know, like you need to clear it. It felt a bit like that. Like,
yeah.
But I just got in 2 seconds under 30:58. Flipping the chuffed, because I thought if I get 31 flat or 31:01, I'm gonna be like, for fuck's sake, like 1 second, you know, like that would have pissed me off, to be honest.
But yeah, I can understand that. What did the fastest runner run there?
That was that guy, the Swedish guy, 28:57.
28:57. All right, let's get going.
Yeah,
but I still find it I'm pretty amazed by the fact that you're driving like 4 hours out, 4 hours back for a 10k run.
Well, we fly across the world, mate, for a triathlon.
Yeah, but that's your job. That's different. Yeah, I know.
Well, about age groupers if it isn't their job, like, you know?
Yeah, no, I know, but I mean, a 10K is just, it's just so small, you know? You can.
Yeah, but there's no...
Don't you have one around the corner?
Yeah, but it's not the same, mate. When you do these big ones and you've got a good atmosphere and stuff like that and loads of good people there, it's different. It's more fun. It's a different ball game. If I do a local one, I'm like running with like two other people in the middle of like... in the middle of Norfolk on flooded roads, getting like running through cow shit, mate. Like,
alrighty, let's quickly head over to the next couple of topics because we have quite some things to discuss this week. First of all, a little celebration. Something reached the news this week that we can globally celebrate with everyone. We've reached the milestone of more than 1 billion people having obesity. That is great news.
That is crazy. Like, when you look at the stats on world population, apparently we didn't hit a billion people until, like, the 1900 and something. Now I think we're at, like, is it 8 or 9? No, I think it might even be 10 billion people.
Currently it's 8 billion people. Yeah.
8 billion people. So it took us thousands of years to hit 1 billion. Now in the last 100, we've gone 8 times that. Like, and to think that like 100 years ago, we didn't even have a billion people in the world. Now we've got a billion people that are obese. It's just flipping nuts. Yeah, that is pretty crazy to think. What do they class as obese? Is that a BMI of over 30 or 35?
Let me see. Let's quickly Google it. First of all, let's quickly go over to a tip. What would you say to people that, for example, want to be disclassified as obese, as in they want to lose weight and become their fittest, the best version of themselves again?
Eat less. You're eating more calories than you're burning, or exercise more. But if you're eating more calories than you're burning, you're going to get fat, aren't you? You know, that's just the general. You know, people like. Just over lazy, 30. Isn't it?
Over 30 is obese,
A lot of it's just lazy, isn't it? Like, people, like, they spend too much time on computers, like, playing computer games, not having an active lifestyle. You know, when we were younger, like, you probably remember this when you were at primary school.
Yeah.
If you want to see your mates, you'd go to the park or you'd go around the house, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Now, kids are staying indoors and they're not going out, are they? And they're not playing, you know, stuff with each other, you know? The lifestyle, people's lifestyles have changed. They just spend a lot of time on computers and indoors.
Well, first of all, everything what you get nowadays contains like sugar or a shitload of fat or whatever. People are just sitting down, eating all day.
Yeah,
that's also something different. Like years ago, and I'm talking like maybe even like 15 to 20 years ago, food wasn't always everywhere available. Now you can get food anywhere, anytime, everywhere, you know, no matter if you work at a company where they've got like vending machines and restaurants and all that. In the past, they didn't have all that shit. You know, you had your breakfast, you had your lunch, you had your dinner, and maybe you brought a cookie, but you weren't snacking all day. You know, that's something different. And people are just sitting down a lot. I just read there's another thing that Dutch people... they sit the most out of Europe, like on their flipping chair.
How much?
I think, what was it, like 8 hours on average?
A day?
Yeah.
So they spend 8 hours in bed, 8 hours sitting down. They don't leave much time to do other stuff, does it?
It's crazy, isn't it? And that is on average.
You said to me, have I got any tips for obese? But thinking about it, you would have been one of these classified as obese, wouldn't you, at one point? You would have had a BMI of over 30, and you've managed to fight back. And now look at you, you're a fit, healthy, young guy, aren't you?
The shape we are currently in is not comparable, or I mean, is not something you can ask as an average. You know, we are like the exceptional 1%, as in how fit you are. Cool. And
don't need to blow your own trumpet, but, Tom. I'm in the 1%, guys. Like, you can't aspire to be like me, but you can be somewhere close.
No, what I mean to say is that there's a big difference
Look,
between...
Guys, I'm kind of a big deal around here.
It was, by the way, on average 8.5 hours on a chair. 8.5.
Do you know that I'm an Ironman triathlete? You can't aspire to be like this.
No, what I was trying to say was that there is a difference between a normal body BMI and not being obese, or being like a flipping 8-hour Ironman athlete. You know, there's like a pretty big range in between, Joe. So, yeah. But you don't. I don't understand why some people don't want to do something about it. Because the simplest things in the world, for example, picking up your kids or tying your own shoes or walk to the train station, whatever. It's all getting flipping difficult if you're not fit. You know, if you have like a big belly, if you health issues. I don't understand why people don't do something about it.
So. Some women like it because while I was on the turbo earlier, I was on YouTube and some shorts came up to me, and I keep getting these from this podcast, this whatever podcast or something. And there was this really, really fat girl on there, like absolutely huge. We're talking BMI, probably over 45. And she reckoned that she could pull 95% of males because they have a fetish for her. You know, they like big girls. And the guy was like, no way, no way. And she was like, yeah, like... 95% I can get because I'm different. So I think some people like it, you know, they fit that, like she thought.
I mean,
it was
of course there is a niche for everything, and it's not about liking something or don't like it. I mean, I like candy, but it doesn't mean that you should eat it every day. Or if that's the basics of your food, you know, candy, and same with like if you're being obese, even if that's the basics, how you run through your life with being not being healthy. I don't know. I just can't see it. And I think as a society, we should do something about it. Why is there, for example, the same amount of tax on fruit and veggies as on sugar? Why isn't there a sugar tax, or why don't we tax unhealthy products more and heavier than healthy products? Because for fat people that don't have a lot of money, they always complain like healthy food is expensive. Yeah, why don't we do something about it? You know, that's in the end we are creating this by ourselves. But
I heard it's very controversial that the reason they don't want people to eat healthy is because the monkey in the room is that what they don't talk about is the rise in population is going to be the problem for the earth. Because if you look at how much the population's increased, like let's just say it's increased 8 times in the last 120 years. If it compounds, doesn't it? Like when you get that, you know, it took us thousands of years to get 1 billion, 100 years we've had 8 billion. So in 100 years time, the world is going to be so overpopulated that there isn't the resources to keep everyone alive. Mm-hmm. So basically, they let the cheaper food and the shit food be cheap because they don't want people to live as long. They don't want people to, like, you know, give birth. They want people to have problems like that. So the population doesn't increase. I know, mate, you're looking at me like I'm a conspiracy theorist, mate. I've done a lot of indoor riding and seen a lot of conspiracy things on Zwift while I've been riding on Zwift lately.
I just want to say I don't want to contribute on sharing conspiracy theories. Let's just stick with like facts.
I've been watching so much stuff like that, mate. Honestly, you know. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff that I get come up to me on YouTube.
All right, we've had this little celebration. I think if you're listening to this podcast, I'm 100% sure you're not one of the people that we're talking about. And if you are, you're fucking damn right, you are doing something about it because you're listening to a triathlon podcast. Hey, let's flip and go, baby. Let's head over to the newest tech innovation in cycling, the Jumbo Visma helmet. Have you seen it?
I saw some pictures today and it looks wild. Like, what did you think? It looks like Darth Vader helmet.
At first I thought that the photos were created by AI or that it was some sort of misformed by Photoshop, because the helmet I looks so flipping weird.
Volca sent it to me and like on an Instagram post, and I thought it was like AI or something. I thought, no way is that a real helmet. Like, how have I not seen this? But I would actually want to test it, like, and see what it's like, because it looks like you could imagine it to be like mega quick, couldn't you? Didn't you think that? You look ridiculous, but it looks fast.
All right. Now I'm going to, now I'm curious. They always say, look pro, go slow. Or that you can buy looks. And you can make yourself look like you're professional and sexy. But what if you would wear, for example, this helmet? You're going to ride I think certain bikes are ugly. There's one, for example, like a KDX or a Koo. They have like a bit of a weird shapes. So what if you're like using all these weird stuff, like a weird helmet, weird shoes, weird bike, would you rather have that and be 1 minute quicker over an Ironman? Or look sexy,
and go look sexy.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, but then I would rather look sexy. But then you say that. But then like it could be more than a minute. What about if we say like 6 minutes quicker?
I would still rather be flippin' sexy than people would say. Wow, he they call him the quick buffoon.
But if you were 6 minutes faster on the bike. You'd rather look sexy than be 6 minutes faster just on the bike alone.
Nah. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard, man.
Because you got to think you're gonna be like stacked out with all the gooniest stuff, aren't you? You're like you've got like the most ugliest looking bike, the ugliest looking helmet, the ugliest looking like I don't know kit, whatever, like everything. Like, You've got bottles over your arms.
and even though you're like the quickest cyclist of the field, like you're riding up front minutes away from everyone, photographers won't even come near you.
Because yeah, you scare them. Whoa.
What is that? They won't even take pictures. No, that's a hot one.
But that would probably be a good thing because you wouldn't really want to be posting up, would you?
But one thing that I had a little look at, I had a little look at the helmet, and one thing I saw is that they're going to make a transition from the helmet making the closure from your head and your neck to now also the shoulders. So they want to make the head, the neck, and the shoulders one piece. So they had the POC helmet, that has been used in some triathlon as well. That you know the white one that look
like
a mushroom.
Yeah.
This one is even bigger and wider. So if you, it looks like it covers like the whole front bit and your shoulders and everything.
Yeah. I mean, it could be quick. I would test it, and I'd love to see what it was like. What it's like. It's a shame I didn't get hold of one before I went into the wind tunnel recently, because it would have been interesting.
Yeah, but I don't think they're for sale, are they?
No, they have to be. If that's part of the rules, isn't it, for the UCI? Like, it has to be for it to be used in pro cycling. It has to be readily available.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to be able to buy it. Like, it could cost a lot, but it has to be available.
Hmm. And there will always be people that want to buy it. Look at that. That was the weirdest picture.
I would buy it. I would buy it if I got the choice. Like, I would, like, if I got the option, if I see it, I will buy one and I'll
try. All right, another question. What if the helmet, so they say it's going to be 5 watts quicker than whatever helmet in the world, but it's going to cost you $2,500.
Four. Like... That's a lot, isn't it? For like a lot of money, isn't it, for it? 5 watts. You'd be thinking about it, wouldn't you? I mean, you probably would, to be honest, like if it was 5 watts.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, I mean, I spent a load of money on a crankset and like some new like base bar for the bike, and that was like probably more than that if you added both of them up.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm a checkbook sportsman, mate. Like, don't train hard. Buy speed.
Yeah, it's true. You can buy speed. You can buy speed.
You can sit on the couch with your laptop and you can buy more than you can gain. You can buy more speed than you could gain in 3 months of training.
That is flipping true.
I'll be like one of them obese people, won't I? Sat on the couch. I'm like drinking like Coke, eating a cake, buying like a $2,500 aero helmet. And they're like, why are you buying that? And I'm like, because it's fast. And they're like, yeah, but you weigh 16 stone and you don't do any training.
I can eat the food even quicker. Alrighty. Enough. Let's quickly head over to the bullshit buster. What's the bullshit buster for this week?
AI writing your social media posts. Like, I think that's a massive bullshit buster. Like, you follow people on social media because you want to follow that person. And mm-hmm. I think you want to know what they're like as a person. You know, it's almost like us doing a podcast and then we get in a robot to talk for us, you know,
yeah.
Programming it in. It's just, you do social media because you want to do it as a person. And obviously you want to get a following so you're more valuable to your sponsors, but you can't, I think it's just cheating. It's almost, as I would say it's as bad as buying followers, getting a robot to write your social media posts.
Yeah, but I think more and more people use AI to write their messages, and especially also social media
posts. If I find out someone's doing that, I'll just can them. I won't bother following them, because I'm not following a robot. I'm following you because you're a person.
What do you think is worse? Having posts written by AI, or every post that people do is a sponsor post?
Having posts written by AI.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that's worse. A sponsored post is you that's writing it, you know, and you can just, you like, at least it all right, yeah, I'm probably going to stop following someone if they're doing that, but at least it's them writing it. Do you know what I mean?
That's true. Like, that's true.
Like, I would say that I think it's worse than buying followers. I'd rather follow someone than buying followers.
Before we head off, quick notice as well that Super Sapiens has been going boss. We've bullshit busted the Super Sapien glucose monitor since the start of the podcast. And last week, they've announced a big message that they're canning all the subscriptions. And the company went boss. They didn't even say a reason why, but what do you reckon?
I think it was just their overheads were massive. I don't know what from, but they were obviously losing money on the amount of subscriptions. And we said about 6 months ago, I think you said to me, you just brought it up that you hadn't seen anyone wearing the Super Sapiens or like hardly any of the pro athletes that were using it before and not really anyone else. And we said, that's probably because they've stopped sponsoring people and they've realized that it's a load of bollocks, because people, a lot of the pros, it seemed like we were using it because they were getting paid, but now they're not getting paid. They're not wearing it. We knew that was bullshit, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. Because
it's so expensive as well.
It's apart from that, it's 200 euros a month. Can you imagine using AG1, 80 euros a month, Super Sapiens 200? You would be getting a flipping mortgage to pay all these.
You literally stuff. Would, yeah.
With this Super Sapiens thing, they sponsor like a shitload of athletes. But then as soon as they stop sponsoring, people would stop using it. But you wouldn't stop using your power meter if a power meter stopped sponsoring you. Right,
because I've not got a power meter sponsor. I've never had.
No, I know, but for example, if they would have sponsored you, you would have bought the flipping product because it's so good.
You would,
and that's something that Super Sapiens.
And that's what we knew. We knew that from the start. We knew that, like, and a few pros obviously got like hooked by seeing other people wearing it, and they end up getting into it. But then they realized that it's a load of bullshit, and I've seen so much bullshit stuff on social media, like where pros are doing all this testing. Like one thing that made me laugh recently was. I saw a thing from Jacob Tipper on LinkedIn, who was like part of the Sub 7. He was like the team manager for our thing in the Sub 7. And on his post, he said, he was talking about like Christian's team. And he said, they've got 14 different methods to measure his core temperature, but they've not thought of one way to cool him down. And that was in regards to like, you know, the hose thing, what Lee had,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We didn't have any way of measuring the core body temperature, but we thought of the way to cool the person down.
Yeah,
and it's almost like that with all these products. Yeah, you can get the data, but what do you do with it? How are you implementing that? All right, I know what my core body temperature is, but if I haven't thought of any way to cool myself down, what's the fucking point?
Yeah,
you know, I'm running Kona. I know if I'm getting hot, I can fucking feel I'm overheating, you know? Just what do I do? What can I use to cool me down? You know, I know how hot it feels, and, you know, you knock the energy down. That's the thing with a lot of these products. They might tell you all this stuff, but unless you actually use the data to help you with your training, like I saw some YouTuber the other day, some triathlete, I can't remember who it was, had all the gear, was testing everything, but he just ignored it and just carried on at the paces. And his heart rate was going up, his effort was going up, you know, and everything. And I just thought, well, what's the point in using all this stuff to measure everything if you're just going to completely ignore it anyway? You know, it's just totally pointless. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see a lot with triathletes. You know, they'll buy all the latest gimmicks, but they don't use any of the data. And they just waste money on stuff when it doesn't actually do anything.
Totally right. You'd rather buy stuff that you can actually like use, like a power meter, than a flipping glucose sensor that tells you to eat a Snicker.
Yeah,
or that told you that you're low in sugar. But anyway, before we head off, I quickly want to throw out a message. We want to integrate a new section in the podcast, Tommy and Jody's advice. So for the next episode, I want you, if you're keen, if you went something down your athletics club or you need some advice on certain topics, triathlon related, not triathlon related, send in a voice memo. This will be anonymous.
And didn't you say even dating advice? Because on me, you said like it could be flipping anything.
Like,
and we'll give our input into it, won't we?
Yeah, we can put our input. We can give you like feedback or what we would do. Yeah, just a little bit, like another section in the podcast that could bring some more swirl into it.
Tom anyway, and Joe's dating advice.
That's too specific. Could be anything, like nutritional problems, a situation at work. We're your oracle. All right.
So literally anything, just something you want advice on.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It shouldn't be like, hey guys, I'm running 10Ks at 330K pace. How many carbs should I take?
Just contact Triathlon Taran. Yeah. Contact Triathlon Taran for that, or like, I don't know, what's the other one?
Is he still around?
The Aussie. God knows. Pro Tri News will probably help you out, won't they? TTH, is it? What's his name? You know, the Aussie? The Triathlon Hour?
The Triathlon Hour.
Yeah, he'll sort you out if you need advice on your 10K or anything like that, you know. Got problems, need to run faster, whatever, you know. We're more lifestyle, aren't we?
We're more lifestyle.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back next week.
See you later.